Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, do you have a best friend?
Hi. I'm looking for a birthday gift for my best friend.
Oh.
My kid, our necklace says best friends forever.
You sure you want it to say forever?
Yeah, why?
Come on. Forever?
Forever?
I don't think you guys will be best friends forever. No offense, but, you know, the friends you have when you're younger, sometimes you grow apart. You know, when you get older, and maybe she'll find a new best friend. And maybe she'll be more successful than you are, and prettier, and richer, and skinnier. And they end up doing everything together.
Yeah, of course, Bridesmaids, what a brilliant movie. I know it might sound like something 10-year-olds argue about in the playground, but friendships can have a really positive and negative impact on all of us. Tanya Sweeney, columnist with the Irish Independent, is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Because, Tanya, I read with great interest your article about this. Why do you say it feels, sometimes it might feel like a failure not to have a female best friend?
It can feel like a failure because culturally, especially for women, I mean, it's so interesting that, you know, when you did the Vox Pop, there was a guy there that actually put it right on the head, which was, you know, your best friend is the same person as you, but in a different font. I loved that. Oh, yeah. My God. But you know, I think female friendships are really different. They are, you know, in pop culture, I mean, you just played a Bridesmaids clip there.
Yeah.
Like in pop culture, they're just seen as completely indestructible. You know, that female friendships are long lasting. They are without caveat. I mean, the truth is female friendships are really quite complex. And, you know, they can be, you know, raised up, you know, to be these fantastic things, but they can be brought down with, like, you know, incredible cruelty as well, you know. And I think there's just this cultural sort of thing that having a very, very, very best friend as a woman is just part of normal adulting, you know, or to have two or three ride or die friends. And, you know, I think a lot of people might come to a point in life where they go, oh, you know, I don't seem to really have that. It could be for any number of reasons. Yeah. You know, you could have moved. There could be, you know, new relationships, motherhood, perimenopause, all the usual kind of stuff that shows up. And I think, you know, I mean, I the reason I wrote the piece is because I was like, I've kind of found myself in a situation where I have lots of friends. I mean, I'm, you know, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But I do not have somebody who, if I were to get arrested at 4 a.m, I do not have the person who I go, right, that's the person I'm going to call. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I was talking to Claire Byrne about this earlier, you know, the person you'd call to help you bury a body in the morning. That person who will dig you out of a hole. There are probably loads of people you could tell about it afterwards, but
I'd be burying the body on my own, I'd say. And but I'd be well able, like,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, you know? I know.
But I do think, you know, there's that thing. And I mean, I wrote the thing, the column in the Irish Independent, because I was like, you know what? This doesn't necessarily make me a failure. It's absolutely fine. I have had friends, and it's a bit like relationships, you know, you go in kind of hot and heavy at the start and you're best friends and you're going here and you're going there and you're going on holidays and you're going to music festivals. And then it just ebbs away.
It all dwindles away.
It all. And not in a bad way. And I mean, no, I think when I was in my 20s, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I think I actually took it really personally. I got all a bit dramatic about it. I was like confronting, you know, my friends going, you know, I was just a placeholder until you found a boyfriend, you know. And now I'm like, do you know what? It's fine. You know, you go on and enjoy that relationship. I'm fine over here. And, you know, I think that's the thing where, as I've gotten older, the drama has really come out of all of that. I used to love the drama. I used to love a big massive breakup.
I absolutely hated the drama. But it's funny though, one thing I have noticed, Tanya, with time, is that it kind of comes full circle. So those people that disappeared a decade ago, they actually, I don't know, do they get bored of their husband or their partner? Are they just bored in life themselves? So they come back. They resurrect again and they start to reappear in your early 40s.
That's exactly it. I think friendships do. And I started to realise this now as a woman of seasons, you know, where there's an ebb and flow, you know. So there's no point in me looking at the person who I was away on holiday with 3 or 4 years ago, who I'm not really in touch with anymore, and thinking either of us did something wrong. It's like, you know what, that friendship is in a sort of fallow period right now. I'm busy. I'm writing novels right now. That person's doing something else, you know, and maybe it's like, God, we should be putting a little more soil onto these friendships. But equally, I really do believe that sometimes somebody just retreats, you know, into the background for a while and, you know, somebody else kind of moves forward and becomes important. But I think when I was much younger, and it was all kind of influenced by Sex and the City and all of that
and
stuff.
Friends as well.
And Friends, any number of pop culture kind of items, you know. And I was like, I definitely need to have somebody who is, you know, I really felt it was so important. And I gave a lot into my friendships. And then when I never got that kind of back, I would just tip into resentment and, well, you're not being the friend that I'm being to you. So,
oh God, Tanya, I have to say, I totally resonate with everything you've just said, because I found myself about 7 or 8 years ago very much in that situation. We've sent our reporter Sarah Madden out and about, Tanya, of the streets of Dublin today to ask people whether or not they have a best friend. And can you only have one?
I have a best friend, yeah. His name is Warren. We are the same person but a different font, as a lot of people say. And I think that's what your best friend should be.
I would say I have half a dozen close friends, so I guess you would call those would be best friends.
I'm 50 years old, so I definitely do have an oldest and bestest friend like that. We've been friends since we were 4 or 5 when we started junior infants. That's what, 46 years of friendship? Pretty good. Good going.
What's the secret to such a long friendship?
I don't know what the secret is, just putting up with one another, I suppose.
Honesty, integrity, there's sharing, there's caring.
Communicating properly. Especially when like life's changing and you're starting to grow up, it's easy to like not speak to people and kind of like focus on yourself. But you have to remember to like keep the people that are important to you close to you.
What would you say is the benefit of having a best friend or really close friendships like that?
It's a bit like putting on a pair of nice cosy slippers, isn't it? You're very comfortable with each other. You're able to talk about anything.
We have different opinions. We have different upbringings. We have different way we see the world. But I think that's the best thing about having a best friend. They challenge you. They encourage you. Yeah, it's like a family you get to pick.
Everyone should have a best friend, at least one.
It's funny, Tanya. Are you not better off to have a couple of very good friends than one bestie in case it all goes belly up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I've always kind of kept a wide enough social circle, like, you know, and it does mean that one friend can step in as the mum friend and another can step in as my gig friend. And, you know, the other person is my, you know,
the crack
spa weekend friend or whatever, you know. And I think it's, you know, I have in the past, you know, kind of glommed myself onto one person and we've been like, you know, the duo. Do you know that kind of way? And some of them blew up and some of them were, you know, sort of not great. And then others just, like I say, life just kind of does its thing and they move away or they get married or, you know, they just end up. And I mean, it's never a failing on a person's part. It's just life happens and you fall down a person's list of priorities. It's never really personal. It's just, you know, a drifting apart. And I used to be really, really annoyed about it. And I'd be like, well, how very dare you not have me on your A-list? You know, that's not right, you know. But now I'm like, you know what? It's fine. You do you. You might come back to me, you know, in the future.
Well, this listener here listening to you, Tanya, today says, 087-1400-106, the WhatsApp number. Tell us about your own best friend stories. This texter says, I'm 43 years of age and I have to say I have loads of friends, but I actually have no best friend. Two that I thought were my best friends never had me as their bridesmaid. So that told me where I stood. I was so hurt not to be picked as one over the random cousins. Yeah, the bridesmaid is really the thing I think that separates it, isn't it?
And I've never been a bridesmaid, so there you go. Says it all.
No, I don't think it does, though. I don't think
it does.
No. No, I think
well, you say the random cousins, you know, pull rank,
yeah,
don't they?
So, I think it's different when it's family, isn't it? Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, is with us on the line as well. Do we really need to have a best friend, Stephanie, or should we just have, you know, multiple great friends?
Hi, guys. Really enjoying that discussion. And it's a really important one, I think. And I loved the article, Tanya. I suppose coming from my side, I think that a broad spectrum of friends is actually more important. But you do need one person in your life who sees you kind of for who you are, where you can really let your guard down, where you can really be yourself. Now, that doesn't have to be a best friend. That obviously may be your life partner. So friends sort of shift into a slightly different position, I think, psychologically and emotionally, as we go through, as Tanya pointed out there, the seasons of life. You know, we kind of, with different times, we need different things and we kind of want different things. Need sounds like we're just using people, but we're not. You know, we kind of are attracted to different people for different things at different points in our life. So I think best friends for me has an intensity that isn't always the best thing for you.
So what should we do? We should just, as Tanya talks about, like, have the different friends, you know, that for the gig or the playground or whatever it is.
Yes, the friends you make at sport, the friends you make in the toddlers, you know, when you've a young child, you often, you know, get very friendly with parents at school. So that's a whole different side of you. It's a whole new sort of aspect of life. And I think you're connecting in a different way. I mean, the girl you connect with in your schoolyard is not necessarily the girl you're going to be able to connect with 20 years later. Sometimes you can, but it is not a failure that you can't. And it's not a failure that friendship sort of ebbs and sort of, you know, just moves away. I also think that friendships have a value, whether they are short or long. You know, they have a different value. And it's about, like, not having the person to walk around that you're holding hands with. That isn't the only value. The value is maybe what they gave to you at that point in time. And they were still lovely, important people in our life. And sometimes people can grow in the same direction as you, or they're going in the same direction as you, because not just in any way a superior thing, but they're going in the same direction as you, or you bump in again and you meet and you have both the old and the new connection. And that's a rather special thing.
Really interesting text. This listener says, my best friend ditched me after meeting her boyfriend. They're now married nearly 10 years and I'm still really sad about it, says this listener. Another texter says, I never understand when people say their partner is their best friend. My best friend is my friend from college and always will be. My husband is my husband and I'd be lost without her. We've seen each other through so many different things in life. I kind of agree, Tanya, with that texter. You always hear it during a wedding speech. I've married my best friend. No, you haven't. You married the guy you met 5 years ago. You love him in a different way, but he's
absolutely
not your, like, it's a different
thing. He's going to see you in a different way entirely. Yeah. And like, you know, like that, you know, if you want someone to see all of you, you know, the husband seeing all of you and the friend seeing all of you are two very, very different things.
A good neighbour is much better than a good friend. They're always there, says this texter. Another listener tells me, blood is thicker than water. You can break away from your partner, spouse and best friend, but your family will always be your family. They can be terribly complex as well, Stephanie, can't they, friendships?
Yeah, I think, and intense. And I think that's the thing that changes as we go on. Like, I think Tanya's sort of referring to that all the time, or speaking to it, especially in the article, that things become less intense because you're terribly busy. You're busy with children, you're busy with life. And so that person takes up a lesser and lesser part of your life. And I know we've spoken loads of times about people, you know, being very angry because suddenly friends, you know, they meet somebody like that texter, they meet somebody and then they don't have the time to spend with their friends. That is life. People move on. And it's not about they don't value you. There are only 24 hours in the day and people are not able to give the same amount to the same thing.
But I do think if they want you in their life, they'll make time for you, Stephanie.
We've had this chat before. I think when you have all of your time. And I mean, I've read Tanya's articles about motherhood and I've been a mother, obviously, myself. And the madness of early motherhood. You talk about making time for your friends. You can't make time to get to the bathroom. It is really hard. So I wouldn't be saying, don't be hurt when your friend who has had a new child or whose mother is sick or who is trying to navigate some huge issue. Has let you down. She's not let you down. She'd love to see you, but she hasn't got the time.
It's funny that I think when there's some big life trauma like that, you know, or grief or something comes into it, I think that's what really separates. That's who really shows you the moment, I suppose, who your friends are, doesn't it?
I know. And they can turn up even just in text, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody recently said that to me, and it's just about, you know, remember, just saying, look, I know you can't see me or I can't see you, but I hope you're okay. And getting that in there and not just doing it once, but maybe again in a month, again in another month. That shows that you actually have them in mind. And I think that makes a difference.
Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist. Tanya Sweeney, Irish independent columnist, journalist, author. Thanks a million to you both for joining us on the programme today. There's loads of listeners getting in touch. We'll have to come back to this a bit later. Email your friendship stories to us. Lunchtime Live at newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.